Paris 2020 just around the corner, and how can you not start to get excited about the prospects of some of these New Zealand athletes? It is a immense year, and a year that started off pretty amazing if you're Hamish Kerr, world indoor champion, and just this weekend, in another incredible performance at the Diamond League event, winning gold there in Shanghai. Quite an achievement, and everything is pointing in the right direction for this young man who we can get pretty excited about representing this country on the biggest stage of them all. And to find out a little bit more about how he's going, we'll speak to the man himself, straight out of Doha. Hamish, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on. I'm stoked to be here.
Hamish, congratulations on this performance in Shanghai. Talk us through it. I mean, 2 meters 31 is obviously no mean feat. You're doing better than everybody else in the field. I know that it's not the best you've jumped, but within these conditions, this is a remarkable win.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a funny one. Like, you know, we're early on in our progress towards, you know, the big thing, which is Paris, but at the same time, you know, these meets are really important to kind of see where everyone else is at. And, you know, they're really important in terms of just trying to tweak technical ability and kind of see where your body is at. So yeah, it's probably took me a little bit by surprise that I was in sort of 2:31 shape this early on. But I think it sort of puts myself in really good stead and shows sort of what kind of form I am capable of coming into the future.
And results matter, right? Obviously, as an individual athlete in an event like yours, you need to worry about your technique. You need to worry about your heights. These are things that you can control. You don't control the outside, but results matter when it comes to confidence. What does this victory mean to you, confidence wise?
Look, I think every kind of time we step out there and you know, Shanghai being a particular example of that, I think every time I go out there and completely execute the plan that I've put in place, it gives me massive confidence to know that, you know, anything is possible so long as we put our minds to it as a support team and really kind of believe it's going to happen. I think, you know, that's the great thing, is there's been a huge amount of belief in the work that we've been doing, and I think nothing has really been left to chance this year. So yeah, it's pretty crazy when you sit down and you kind of hypothesize all these things that could happen and set all these goals, then you actually just go out and start achieving them all. I mean, you know, it sort of seems like something, you know, it seems almost too good to be true, but I think that's just, you know, credit to the amazing work we've been doing and how hard we've been working as a team and me especially, you know, in terms of all the work that I've been doing on the track and in the gym and everywhere else.
And speaking of too good to be true as well, I imagine that as you've been developing through your career, you probably at some point thought, I want to make sure that I beat the best of the best. And you did. You beat the Tokyo Olympics gold medal winner here in Motosesa Bashim. What's that like, knowing that you out-jumped the Olympic champion?
Yeah, look, I mean, high jump's a pretty niche event, but, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't say that I, you know, grew up watching him perform, and, you know, he's a massive idol of mine and sort of someone who I still feel very privileged to be able to kind of share the track with. So, you know, every time I get a win against someone like him, it's just, you know, a real pinch myself moment. And I think at the same time, you know, we are all in different phases of training this time of year, but you know, for now I'm looking like I'm in the best, so that's pretty cool to be.
Let's talk about this year, speaking with Hamish Kerr, starting with, you know, obviously this is a great result on its own and tracking nicely as far as your heights have been going this year, but winning the World Indoor Championship, I mean, these are moments that that can feel like it's forever away. To make that happen in the same year, this a Diamond League win like this and this, as well as tracking towards, you know, Paris Olympics, what has this year felt like for you?
It's funny, like, I think that, you know, in a way it feels like a dream come true. It feels like, you know, this is just me living my childhood dream of you know, being a world-class high jumper and traveling around the world and you know, jumping these massive heights and winning all these amazing competitions. But I think, you know, part of me knows as well that I didn't grow up, you know, watching Diamond League. I didn't grow up watching World Indoor Champs. I grew up watching the Olympics. And I think that, you know, all these results that I've had so far have been amazing. And, you know, I'll cherish them for the rest of my career. But at the same time, I think that the really big one this year that you know, everyone wants to win, and I'm, you know, especially the same, is definitely Paris. And that's the one we're really focused towards.
Where were you expecting to be, I should say, Sir Hamish, in your tapering for Paris? Obviously, everyone wants to peak once you're there in that event, but where are you in the cycle you kind of expected to be? Are you above it? And if you are, I know some athletes get a little bit cagey if they're going better than they thought they would be at this stage sometimes. So how do you feel as far as that's tracking?
I suppose the way I look at it is after World Indoors, which was start of March, we came home to New Zealand, or I came home to New Zealand and caught up with the rest of the team, and we went into quite a heavy block of training where we tried to develop a bit more physical ability for me. So that was sort of a little bit more strength and power in the gym. And then, you know, it always takes a wee while for that to kind of filter down into the actual high jump itself, because high jump is sort of a balance of the physical ability and the technique and the rhythm of the event itself. So we thought that, you know, physically, I'm in really good shape, but we didn't quite know how long it was going to take to kind of click into actual high jump results. So, you know, to take two comps to get already into the 30s again is I think a massive positive. So, you know, you could probably say I probably feel a little bit ahead of the curve, but at the same time, you know, there is still a number of centimeters to be found, and you know, there's still a lot of work to be done before Paris. So yeah, it's kind of nice to know where I'm a little bit ahead of the curve, because that curve is going to start increasing quite steeply in the next couple of months.
So 2:36, the New Zealand record you set at the World Indoors. What do you think is the height that you have targeted? Like, this is the type of height I think I need to hit to achieve my dream at Paris.
The height that we identified at the start of the season is something that I feel like I'm personally capable of achieving is 2:38. And I think that if I can do that before the Olympics, then there is a decent chance that I can be competing for those medals. But at the same time, I mean, you know, 2:37 won the last one, and in previous years, kind of 2:35 to 2:38 have kind of done it. So we're sort of looking at the upper range of that. But at the same time, you know, these guys who are all kind of my age or slightly younger who are really coming through this year and the last few years. So I think that I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, a couple of guys really jump out of their skin and, you know, potentially push up to 2:39, 2:40.
There's getting the technique right, isn't there, is obviously a big part of it. But in an event like the Olympics, it's also how you keep cool, how you keep your composure. What do you do to work on that, and what do you do to stay in the zone? Is there any specific technique that you use? Do you zone out, or do you get hyper intensive?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the comp itself, high jump's a really long competition. I mean, we can be out on the track for about 3 hours sometimes. So I guess, you know, there are techniques we use to kind of get in the zone, but then also kind of stay in a position where we can step up but not have to be in that kind of really high intense setting the whole time. I think that if you're trying to really, really focus and really be hardcore about it for that whole 3 hours, you're just going to cook yourself. So yeah, I think, you know, for me, I love kind of looking into the crowd and just kind of seeing what people are wearing and what kind of funny things you can sort of spot out, because there's always a couple of different things in you know, sporting crowds with what, you know, costumes or just different people. So that's quite cool. But then also, you know, I'm a massive athletics fan, so I usually just kind of sit out there for 3 hours and just watch all the events go round and round the track. So yeah, it's pretty cool for me. But then, you know, obviously it's about when it's your turn, just really identifying what the cues that you're working on for that comp are and just stepping into that and trying to focus on those as much as possible.
If Hamish Kerr wasn't preparing for Paris, what's Was there a plan B in your mind about, oh, well, if I'm not, being a world-class high jumper is your dream and you're achieving it right now, did you have, did you feel the need to balance that out with, well, if I wasn't that, then I'd be this? Was just there's just always the all-in quids in goal?
Look, I think I was just the, I'm just the kid who never grew up. I mean, I've always loved doing athletics, and I actually went to uni, and then I studied agricultural commerce, and that was kind of the thing that I was pretty interested in for a few years. But I had an opportunity when I finished my degree, which is going back a couple of years now actually, but I had a chance to kind of come down to Christchurch and start committing to athletics. And I think since then I've really kind of identified the fact that I'm not going to be in my 20s forever. I'm not going to have a body that's really kind of set up for this forever. So I might as well make the most of it. And so yeah, I think for now, I'm pretty all in on the athletics, but obviously things can change. And I think that the next phase of my career, whatever that may be, will kind of sort itself out when that comes.
Those of us who do keep an eye on New Zealand's Olympic hopefuls have heard your name for a while, Hamish. You've been around the scene and people have known of you, but this year has exploded to another level as far as a bit of recognition. Does that recognition come with any kind of suddenly mates you haven't heard of in years suddenly start hitting you up on Instagram or people getting the extra kind of buzz of recognition? Because it can be a lonely sport when you're trying to travel the globe, trying to get opportunities to jump, and it's not getting respectfully from places like us and everywhere else the same kind of coverage as other sports.
Yeah. Oh, look, I mean, I think I've mentioned it a couple of times already, but I'm so lucky. I've got such an amazing team. I've got a great coach who travels around with me, and we're really close mates, and I've got an awesome team of people that I can kind of refer back to at home, and my family are really close in this. My girlfriend, although it sucks being away from her for months at a time, it's awesome to kind of know that I have her support and that she can come over and do at least a little bit of travel with me each year. But yeah, I think that was probably the hardest thing that I've kind of had to get my head around the last few years, is just how do you deal with that loneliness? Because we are individual athletes. We do spend a lot of time on the road, and a lot of that can be by ourselves. But I think that's also probably one of the reasons why I've actually started to push on and just get better every year, is that the more you do it, the more you kind of make friends on circuit, and the more you kind of feel like you belong in that environment, and it just becomes a little bit more normal, I suppose. So the constant time zone changes and not really knowing what day it is just becomes your normal life, I guess, which seems weird, but it's just kind of what we do, I suppose.
Where did track and field athletics start for you? What was the moment where you kind of fell in love with it?
Oh, look, I did it at school, and I think that I was a sporty kid. I loved the outdoors, and I just enjoyed playing rugby and soccer and just mucking around with my mates and at lunchtime. But I always tell people I was kind of the kid that never grew up. Everyone loved high jump at primary school, and I've got fond memories of jumping on the school field and doing the school record, and everyone just crowding around and loving it. And I think that from there I joined a local athletics club, which I think that that's super key for anyone who's really keen on doing any sort of sport, is get involved in something organized, get some really good friends through that. I mean, I was really lucky that I was in a sort of year group which had a really sort of strong cohort of different athletes. So we've all kind of stayed pretty close ever since then, and there's a number of us who are actually still doing the sport, which is pretty awesome. So it's just about getting some organized kind of sport together, get some mates, just enjoy it, and just see where it takes you.
Does a day go by where you don't think about the Olympics? And when did that start? Has it been for this whole 3 years, or even longer? Does a day go by where the Olympics don't come across your mind?
Oh, I think today I've been trying to probably thinking mostly about trying not to go to sleep with obviously a big amount of travel the last 24 hours. But no, I think it is constantly there. But I think also the overarching thing for me is, how can I just be better every day? I think that, obviously the Olympics are a huge part of that. But at the same time, what gets me up in the morning is knowing that there could be a couple of extra centimeters in the legs there, and one day I'll be able to, take off and feel like I've, you know, jumped the highest that I've ever jumped before, and I'll land on that mat and the bar will still be up and it will all be confirmed, and you know, I'll be able to walk away knowing that I was just the best high jumper that I could be.
So you're in Doha now, and appreciate you messing with your body clock to have a yarn with us here on SENZ. So Diamond League is the plan there. It's what, not this weekend, but next?
Yeah, so we're actually, we've got a bit of a diversion from the Diamond League this weekend in Doha. So there is a Diamond League here, but Mutaz Barsham, who we've obviously mentioned being the Olympic champion, he is based, or you know, he lives in Doha, and he is having a high jump only meet, which will be super exciting. It will be kind of a precursor to the Olympic final in a way, and so I'm looking forward to getting out there and kind of seeing what I can do against not only him but the other Olympic champion, and then also another couple of the other really strong guys at the moment.
Wow, that sounds. How do you get an invite to one of those?
Just know people. No, I think that sort of, you know, it's probably further confirmation that, you know, I'm up there with the big boys now, to be able to kind of come to these meets and feel like you're right at home and really competing for those wins.
That's fantastic. Is those moments again? Those must be, you know, quietly while you're confident and you belong there, Hamish. Those kind of pinch yourself kind of moments, right? Where it's you are there with the big boys, and occasionally must go, wow, it's this is me now.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. Look, I mean, you know, I'm just so grateful for everything I get to do, and you know, I am truly, truly lucky that this is my job and this is what I do for a living. But at the same time, you know, it's yeah, it doesn't really ever feel like a chore. It can be hard sometimes, but you know, it's always just something worth getting up for.
And so we're about to hit May. What's your schedule? Are you home between now and the Olympics, or is it full noise on the circuit?
Yep. No, I come home after Doha, actually. So I'll be home for about 3 weeks. Then I'm actually heading to the US for a bit of training with Tom Walsh, you know, our leading shot putter, and then into Europe, a few comps, and then straight into Paris.
So you mentioned before, Hamish, that if there was that, you know, the best thing you did was get involved with a like-minded community at club level. If there's, you know, any parents who've got, you know, kids who dream and aspire to reach there, even, you know, young men and women listening who dream to follow your path, what piece of advice would you have for them on how to get there? Because obviously there's nothing linear, but it's about keeping it fun to start with, right?
Yeah. Oh, look, I mean, there's so many things I could say, but I think for me, I've had an intense love of the sport for so long, and it's, I guess that's what always gets me up in the morning, but it's also just about being patient. I think that, you know, if you're striving for change, or if you think that, you know, there's a certain place in your sport that you can get to, you know, it's obviously recognizing that, but then it's also just enjoying the fact that every day is just going to feel the same for a very long time until you kind of actually step back from it all and look at how far you've come. So yeah, it's just been about being patient and just loving it and understanding that not every day is going to be amazing, but at the same time, you know, the goal, or the, you know, the feeling of achieving those dreams that you've had for so long is just, it's so worth it.
Hamish Kerr, hugely grateful for your time. Congratulations on what's been achieved so far, and we can't wait to keep an eye and track and support you through what's going to be achieved for the rest of the year too.
Yeah, thanks heaps for having me on.